One note before we get into the passage, I want to begin at the very last line here of Habakkuk. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments. And that is the end of this prayer that could be seen as a psalm that began in chapter 3, verse 1, according to Shigionoth. And so you have this kind of psalm that is given at the end here, and you may wonder, why is this not included in the Psalter? We don't know. Some other songs as well, like the Song of Moses, are also not included in the Psalter. So we have this psalm that it is not for us to sing, but we do have it for our edification. As you heard the reading, Habakkuk talked about devastation, desolation that he was envisioning. And I was thinking of how my friends in Houston, Texas, saw devastation with Hurricane Katrina that came many years ago, at least 5 years ago. And you see pictures of houses that are almost all underwater. All you see are the rooftops. And this was most of the city of Houston. I went to Houston not too long afterwards, and it was unbelievable. The damage of this big city in Houston. And having friends there, knowing that some of them had to evacuate from their homes, and they had to struggle and wrestle with a lot of things that were lost through damage from the flooding. And several of them said to me, oh, that's just stuff. It's just stuff. What they do have is family. They would have a place where they could stay, shelter. They had food. They still had money in the bank account. They had insurance that they could rebuild their homes. And so they had that perspective on something that was very fearful for them as they saw the waters rising and they had to evacuate from their homes, a lot of them from boats. Now, Habakkuk does something here. More than just seeing Babylon coming and bringing desolation and destruction on their way, he actually thinks of something even beyond that. He thinks of something that is like a worst case scenario. And he's saying, what if, though, he says, the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail in the fields, yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. What if that were to happen? That he's saying here, if there's no more food, if there are no more cattle, all of our wealth is gone, that we're left with nothing. And that's how he begins in verse 17, this last little beautiful poem. Though these things would happen, though these things, this kind of disaster, even though, and he says, yet, I will rejoice. You see how Habakkuk's perspective changed. Even here, he's not so much thinking of Babylon coming. He's thinking of the worst thing that can happen. And he said he's gone from this fear that he had at the beginning. Now he has such great faith. Faith from worry to worship. He's no longer questioning the Lord and what he's doing. He is settled. He's decided. He is dependent upon the Lord. And this is such an incredible change in perspective. And how did it happen? What was the change that he could actually say these things and be so confident, so determined that he's going to rejoice in the Lord? And it's summarized in three parts in Habakkuk's prayer here. We're going to see how, even though judgment is coming, he's responding here with this change, this new perspective. So the first, we see him saying, though I lose it all. That's the first part of this three-part poem, or this prayer. And then the second part is, yet I will rejoice, verse 18. The third part is, my strength is in the Lord. So though I lose it all. What's the worst that could happen? Habakkuk is thinking, what is the absolute worst that can happen to me? And here it is. though these things were to happen. And he wonders, if these things were to happen, what am I going to do? And you could say this is not even so much about the Babylonians. Perhaps they would come through, or people evacuate and then destroy the crops and they take away their flock and their cattle so that there's nothing left. They come back and there's devastation, there's nothing left. That's perhaps what is happening. Or that there's what you might call a natural disaster or whatever happens and there's nothing left. There's famine, where God would still be in control. And if he had nothing left, no yield from the fig tree, from the vine, the olive tree, the fields, the flock, the cattle, a loss of all food, all wealth, nothing. Even though I lose it all, total desolation, he says, now in the second part, yet I will rejoice. So come what might, may, whatever it is, we might think of things that happen to us, you know, with a winter storm, you know, we lose our electricity for a little while. Habakkuk is saying, this is the worst that I can think of. No food, no more savings. I've got nothing left. Yet I will rejoice. Picture him. He's bereft of everything. He's imagining himself bereft of everything, and he's still saying, I will, determining to say, I will rejoice in the Lord. Can you think of someone else who was like this in the scriptures, who lost it, actually lost it all? Job, as we know, he, in one day, he lost his wealth, his cattle, he lost his children, and he lost his health in one day. And what does he say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had prepared himself and determined himself that he is going to bless the Lord. Even when that day did come, he did. He blessed the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. Habakkuk is preparing him, he is preparing himself for the worst. And though this disaster may hit him, he is determining, he is deciding, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He is deciding that he is putting all of his joy in this God who has saved him. And this joy is the fruit of a spirit-filled life. It's not something you can muster up. You can say, you can determine, I will be joyful. But it's by the Spirit. The mature Christian walks in this determination of being joyful as they remain in step with the Spirit who produces this fruit of joy. But it's with that decided determination, I will rejoice in the Lord. And then finally in verse 19, this third part, he says, my strength is in the Lord. It says, God the Lord. And it's actually there saying, Yahweh Adonai, Lord, the Lord is my strength. That's a beautiful thing. The covenant-keeping God, Lord, and the sovereign one, Adonai, the Lord, is my strength. Is my strength. He is saying that you have become my strength. The Lord had made Habakkuk, it says here, like a deer in this strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And you read that and you wonder, what is he talking about? This picture, this illustration of a deer. Well, think of the deer as they don't think hunters that it's one to shoot. But a deer that is running light on their feet, sure-footed. If they're going up the mountain, they're sure-footed. That's the picture here. He makes my feet like the deer, treading on the high places, the mountains, just going up the heights. And what is that for Habakkuk? He's going to be facing the Babylonians. as they come. Extreme circumstances. And the Lord has made him like a deer, where he is sure-footed. He's light on his feet. And we see the same language from David in Psalm 18, where he says in verse 31 to 33, For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. Same picture of security, of one who has been trained for war. And as he's been trained and equipped, he is secure like this deer. And so the Lord, who had revealed himself to Habakkuk as awesome and sovereign power, is also Habakkuk's strength. His strength. And this Lord, the strong Lord, is going to enable him to get through this circumstance, this trial, with joy. And essentially, Habakkuk was applying what the Lord had taught him. Remember the key verse. What is the key verse in Habakkuk? Chapter 2, verse 4, what does it say at the end? The righteous shall live by faith. Don't ever forget, that's where you find that line that you see repeated again and again in the New Testament. The righteous shall live by faith. And Habakkuk is applying this to his life here at the end of this entire book. And he went from fear to faith, believing by faith that one day he will see, as it says in chapter 2, verse 14, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Another central verse in this book. And by faith also in chapter 3, verse 2, we heard that mercy will triumph over judgment as he prays to the Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And by faith in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 13, we saw he had the vision. He had heard of the Lord as he was going out for salvation of the people, for the anointed one, for his people. So though he was going to suffer loss, he was going to trust in the Lord. He was going to trust him. And then even that, in trusting, that great joy was going to come to him. Habakkuk could now see this vision of God. The Lord, he's judge and he's savior, and he's rejoicing in him. He's finding his strength in him. And even if he loses it all, he has the Lord. He's lost everything. He's picturing if he loses it all, he at least has the Lord, and in him he has it all. He has everything he needs. You know, people throughout history have faced actual worst case scenarios. Their fears have come true. And how did they get through it? Wars, famine, imprisonment, torture, trafficking. I have fears. I have worst case scenarios in my mind that I have to wrestle through. What are yours? What are the things that you're thinking about? Your worry, your concern for your children? What are you thinking about in the future? How did some people handle those times of great suffering and famine and war and imprisonment, torture, even people who have been trafficked? How do they deal with that? And then come through that in the midst of the suffering with joy. See, joy in itself is not something, again, that we can produce in ourselves. It's not something dependent on our circumstances. It's not a feeling, but it is a state of mind that is stayed on Christ because it comes from him. And for the people who would normally be traumatized by these horrible situations in their lives, and that we would say post-traumatic stress syndrome is what they would be going through, or turning to drugs, suicide, thinking that's the only solution. We find people who have gone through the worst and they have found joy. What is it? It's as we see in Habakkuk, that they have deep trust in the Lord. Deep trust in the Lord. Corrie ten Boom, imagine her story. She was in Auschwitz, that infamous concentration camp. And she came from out of Auschwitz to tour the world, spreading her joy to people throughout the world about the healing work of in salvation that all could have, that she experienced in her life. She said, never be afraid to entrust an unknown future to a known God. She came to know God through those trials. And how can you and I have this kind of joy in any circumstance? And here are three points of application from Habakkuk at the concluding of this prayer. The first is, do not fear your worst fears. Do not fear them. Think of your worst fears, not so much phobias, snakes, spiders, whatever those are, but actual fears, real fears that you dread happening. Habakkuk, imagine the worst case scenario. Now hear the words of Jesus. When he saw fear in people, he said, do not fear. He says, do not be afraid. He can command that, do not be afraid, because he can enable you to not be afraid. Are you afraid, for example, the Lord may forsake you? Some people do. They think the Lord has abandoned me, has forsaken me. Listen to these words, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For we can confidently say, the Lord my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? To say, I will not fear. Whatever my fears are, I will not fear. It's been a command to me not to fear those fears that I dread. Determined not to be afraid, whatever the future holds, not to fear it, even the worst circumstance that it may be. Second, decide to rejoice in the Lord. Determine now that you will rejoice in the Lord. If that were to happen, say, I will rejoice, as Habakkuk says, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Deciding that and taking those commands, James 1, 2, count it all joy when you face various trials of various kinds. Think of that. In this circumstance, I am to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4, 4, again, a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. 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 The key in rejoicing is that you're removing yourself from thinking upon the circumstance that maybe in itself there's nothing in it to rejoice in. But it's looking to the Lord where you can say, I will rejoice in you, Lord. Because you can. There's so much to rejoice in him. You can turn your eyes away off the circumstance as you do so and on to the Lord as you meditate upon his works, his salvation. Though, as the psalmist says, there's weeping in the night, and you've turned to the Lord in prayer, and you're looking to him, and you're claiming his promises, there's joy in the morning. Have you experienced that before? Turning to him, and then finding joy even in the midst of the hardest of trials. Those who take joy in the Lord will find their strength in the Lord in any and all circumstances. So decide to rejoice in the Lord. Thirdly, depend fully on the Lord as your strength. Depend on him. The strength that you will need in whatever circumstance is going to be found in the Lord. The one who is strong, you will gain that strength from him. Two illustrations to help us understand of finding this strength. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8 to 12. David here writes a psalm of great joy after the ark, or as the ark was coming into Jerusalem. He writes these words, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and I'll begin at verse 8 to verse 12. Listen to these great words of praise and thanksgiving with joy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. This is how Habakkuk got to where he was at the end. He was meditating on the wondrous works of the Lord to bring him to that place where he was seeking the Lord and his strength, and he found it in him. The second illustration, as I was looking for an illustration in writing this sermon, I was overhearing podcasts that my wife was listening to, and I went over to hear the end of it, and I found my illustration. It's a woman called Evelyn Husband, who's a widow, for her husband, that was her last name, Husband, Rick, was a chief astronaut of the Columbus shuttle. Do you remember that in 2003? Where as they return back to Earth through the atmosphere, it disintegrated. And everyone on board perished. And obviously, wives devastated. Evelyn didn't know how she was going to live. How can she live caring for her two young children without her husband? And she talks about in the memorial service how something glorious happened. She describes it as glorious. There was a song that they were singing, a song of praise that they were singing, and she started to sing, and she started to worship the Lord, and she felt the Lord holding her up and calming her and soothing her. And she knew in that moment that the Lord was going to carry her through because the Lord was going to be her strength. And even though she was experiencing such deep pain of loss, she said she had joy in that moment. And she said the joy of the Lord would be her strength through this time of loss. So you can rejoice in the Lord. You can. And you can do it because the Lord is your strength. He's the God of your salvation. He will give you strength. So what will you do if your worst fears actually are realized? What will you do? Remember Habakkuk. He found strength in the Lord. What if something even worse were to happen than what Habakkuk was describing? Can you think of something worse than that? Where every single person on the whole face of the earth were to face cataclysmic destruction and desolation. Well, that is something that the psalmist thought of in Psalm 46. We sing Psalm 46, and we sing it, we know it's about God as our strength and refuge. But notice what he says here in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though. And now we're talking about earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis. Perhaps you could describe it as that. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The psalmist says, even if all of these things happen on the earth, I will not fear, or we will not fear. Why? Verse 1, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our trouble. That's because we can say, we will not fear. If God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is our strength, whatever might happen to us, we can say, we will not fear, we will rejoice in the God of our salvation. Maybe you've succumbed to fear. You need to come back to the Word of God to remind yourself of the Lord, all that He is, all that you have in Him, to turn to Him and to hear those words from the Lord. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever might come in the future, whatever your thoughts go, your fears, don't be afraid. And decide to rejoice in Him, the God of your salvation. Turn from fear and turn trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. He will save you. He will help you. And when you depend fully on Him, you will never be disappointed. You will find in Him all that you need. Let us pray. Father, as we come to the end of Habakkuk, we have found in You everything. Our questions are answered in many ways. For Lord, we may be asking why and how long, and yet when we turn to You and find that You are the God, the sovereign, awesome, judge of the heavens and the earth, of the nations, You're also a Savior. And we're given this perspective that moves us from fear to faith, from worrying about the things in our lives to worship. So may You fill us again with this joy of our salvation that is in Jesus Christ, to delight in Him, that we would find in Him everything that we need. And so we trust in You again, Father. We turn again to You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for the Spirit of God who enables us to trust and turn to You. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.